your dog in the fight.
Welcome back to the program. Glad to have you with me. And if you want to jump into the conversation, we're glad to have you too. 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@LarsLarson.com. And Dr. John Lott joins me now, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and the author most recently of Dumbing Down the Courts, How Politics Keeps the Smartest Judges Off the Bench. You also see Dr. Lott on Fox News. How you doing, John?
Doing great. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, tell me about this. Jason Riley at the Wall Street Journal says that the FBI's data on what are called mass shootings, and I think we know roughly what that means, although the specifics may be at the heart of this issue, that he says the data from the FBI is flawed, but some of the left-wing groups like Media Matters say it's not. So how do we sort this one out?
Right. Well, I think what Jason was referring to is an article by a couple of the authors themselves. I had written a piece in the in a criminology journal in March, and these authors responded just a week or so ago. And rather than kind of debating the points that I'd made, their response was simply, look, lots of government data has flaws, and we have flaws in our data. And you know, they don't, so I mean, Media Matters can go and claim whatever they want to. Here are two of the main authors of the FBI study that offer no defense for the data errors that were involved.
So they're not going to take a responsibility for the data errors. But are there data errors in these numbers, or is it more a definitional problem? I'll give you an example, John. You and I have talked about these cases all the time. I don't think anybody doubts that the situation in Aurora, Colorado, the murders for which James Holmes, you know, was convicted and is now being considered for the kind of punishment he should get, that that's a mass shooting. But there were other mall shootings or public place shootings like the one in Clackamas, Oregon, where, you know, two people were killed. But as I understand it, some of the organizations, the private organizations, and perhaps even some police agencies say because the shooter stopped at killing two people that it doesn't qualify as a mass shooting. Is that one of the examples of where we get into a problem of deciding which one is which?
Not really. I mean, I'm willing to take these guys' definition for whatever they want to have it in this FBI report. In this case, they include a public shooting as a case where somebody fires a gun and nobody's even shot. And then they also have cases where you have many people killed. There are two problems with it. One is they miss cases, even by their own definition. I mean, they have like 160 cases, but even including these instances where somebody's fired a gun in public and nobody's been shot. But there are 20 cases where you have like four or more people killed that they missed. And the problem is that they're not randomly spread out over time. They're looking at data from 2000 to 2013, and the vast majority of the cases that they miss are from the first few years that are there. So it makes it look like the earlier years are safer than they actually are, and that makes it the trend much steeper than it actually is.
So it appears they're trying to monkey with the data to make it appear as though this is a growing problem rather than either a shrinking or a stable problem, and then that will justify passing more laws.
Right, exactly. And so, look, I'm just saying, accept their definitions. You know, they want to include anything where a gun's fired from zero people being shot up to however many get shot, fine. The second part is how they collect the data. And that is when you're looking at these cases where a gun's been fired in public and nobody's been shot, that's like a third of their sample are cases like that. They use Google News searches. Now, my guess is a lot of people have some idea of what goes on with Google News searches, but the thing is, it's hard to find old stories using Google News. And so the vast majority of their cases like that are from the last few years. It's not that 10 years or 13 years ago you didn't have somebody firing a gun in public and nobody gets shot. It's just that you only have one news story on these things. And the likelihood that news story, you know, if it's a week ago, you'll find it. or if it's a year ago, you'd probably find it. But if it's 5 years or 10 years or 13 years ago, there's a good chance that you're not going to be able to find that one news story anymore. And so there it's just a matter of how they collected the data, which was a mistake. There are other ways that you could go and do that. If you're a lawyer, be familiar with Nexus and Westlaw, these computerized databases of news stories that one could have used. But that's not how they did it. And so that makes it look like the recent history is a lot worse than the earlier history, but it's not really. It's just because of the way they collected the data. And so both of those flaws make it look like things are getting much worse over time than they actually are. And these guys, when they wrote their reply, had nothing to say about those things. They just say, well, you know, data has errors.
Well, and John, one of the things that occurred to me while you're mentioning this, we're talking about maybe 160 incidents between 2020-2013. I'll give you as an example, if you use the definition, a gun fired in public, whether somebody was hit or not, I have my broadcast studios in Portland, Oregon. You've been here before. And in the last, in the first, you know, 5.5 months of this year, there have been 70 incidents where usually gangbangers drive by somebody's house and they fire a gun. Right. Sometimes a lot of rounds are fired. Nobody is hit in many cases, thank God. But there have been 70 of those incidents in the first 5.5 months in one American city, a middle-sized city. And if you define it as fired a gun in public, whether hit or not, there would be 70 just from my neck of the woods, from one city. And so if they define it that way, can you imagine how many times, with Chicago being a place where they have a record number of murders going on, how many times does somebody drive by either a public location or a house and fire a number of shots? The number in Chicago has to be thousands of times per year. So even that definition doesn't work, does it?
Look, again, I'm willing to accept whatever definition just for the sake of argument that they want to go and make. The point is they didn't do it right. I mean, your example just shows that obviously they haven't found the cases. They have 160 cases of everything, you know, from a gun being fired where nobody's been hit to mass public shooting where there's 13 people killed or more. You know, to say there's 160 for that whole range there, I just don't believe. And it's just... you know, there's no database that police put together at the local level where they count the types of cases that you were just describing. Surely nothing at the national level for police departments.
Nope.
And so these guys went out and did a Google News search in order to try to fill in the blanks. And, you know, they just didn't seem to understand the limits, or if they did, they didn't talk about it and they didn't acknowledge it in their piece. I mean, here's the thing that bothers me, and that is, I raised these problems with the Department of Justice and the FBI and these authors back in September last year when they put out this report shortly before the election. They would not answer a single question. Nobody would respond. They didn't return phone calls. They didn't return emails. They didn't respond at all. And so finally I published this thing in a criminology journal, and I guess they felt pressure from their peers to have to respond. But you at least think if somebody, the main point of an article is to say, look, you've made data errors, and the best that they can come up with as a defense is, well, all data has errors. You know, they completely miss the main point of that, and that these errors are what we call systematic, that they're biasing the results in a particular way that makes it look like there's a bigger increase over time than there actually has been.
John Lott, Dr. John Lott is with me. We're going to stay for a second segment. We'll get your phone calls, too. He's with the Crime Prevention Research Center, its head, and you're listening to The Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show. Call 866-HEY-LARS to join the conversation now.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Pleasure to be with you, and always glad to have Dr. John Lott with us, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and the author of Dumbing Down the Courts. Doc, can we talk about, we've talked about the Media Matters part, but let me ask you about a brand new allegation that's being made that in the state of Connecticut, where they had that horrible shooting involving kids in Newtown, Connecticut, that, you know, they quickly passed a bunch of, I think, lunatic laws that didn't really do much good. And there's been a lot said about Connecticut. The claim is being made that Connecticut's gun licensing law has cut the number of homicides in that state by 40%. It's a 1995 law that requires a permit or a license even to purchase a handgun. Is there any truth to the allegation that it's cut the number of firearms-related homicides by 40%?
No, I don't think there's anything. I mean, people can see a detailed discussion that I have at our website at crimeresearch.org. But here's the deal. You got to compare it to other. I mean, if you ask literally, did firearm homicides fall by 40% from 2005 to 2000, or from 1995 to 2005? The answer is yes. But the problem is they're falling nationwide. They're falling in the Northeast. And they were falling even faster before the law was passed in 95 than they were afterwards. If you look at the 2 years prior to the law getting passed, the firearm homicide rate had fallen by 30% in just 2 years. And then it was, over the next 10 years, it was 40%. So, you know, if you compare it to either other Northeastern cities, Connecticut's firearm homicides actually rose. The rate of firearm homicides actually rose for 4 years after this gun rule went into effect. Then it went down for 6, and then it went up for 5. They
cherry pick the starting and ending points for their line, right?
Right. No, exactly. I mean, they go up. If they'd gone one more year, they would have seen an explosion in firearm homicides in Connecticut. And so, and the other thing is, not only do they cherry pick kind of the dates that they use, but they cherry pick the states. I mean, they themselves talk about the fact that there's 10 other states that have these laws. When I ever do a study, as you know, I look at the changes in all the states that have these laws. You know, if I could just pick one state out of 10, surely you would hope that I could find the one that, you know, moves in a particular direction that I'd want it to do. It's the reason why academics are supposed to use all the data that's available, all the changes that are there. So, you know, if I could flip a coin 20 times, 10 heads and 10 tails, and I let you pick 5 flips that you want, surely you can hopefully, you know, if you want to prove it's unfair, you could pick just 5 heads or 5 tails. But that's not all the data that's there.
Well, in fact, it almost makes me want to do this, John. If we forced everybody to take all the data that's available, so that you say, well, you have to go from the founding of the United States to present times on everything, you wouldn't be able to interpret it at all and say, well, if you take this period of time. But if they had been forced, say, to show a little bit of a broader range and say, you know, the reason we picked this particular set of years is because of whatever, and that even if you went back 3 or 4 years before or ended a little bit later than we ended, then and if you can show that to your colleagues, you probably get past the peer review and get published, right?
Well, you'd be a good academic in that sense. I've published over 100 peer-reviewed journal articles, and the thing is, if you don't use all, I mean, we don't have crime data that goes back to the beginning of the country.
No.
County-level data, city-level data, basically goes back to 77 that we have there. But if you don't use the data that's available, if you pick and choose, you better have a pretty damn good reason why you're not doing it. And, you know, in this case, they say, well, they just look for 10 years after the change in the law because there's another paper that they cite that used 10 years. I mean, it's the other one's looking at cigarette taxes, so I'm not even sure why they did that. But the thing is, the other paper used 11 years. So it's not like, it's just like they can't even, it's like they assume people aren't even going to read it. But it's a nonsensical claim anyways to go and say, well, this other paper used 10 years, so we're going to do that. And You know, it's really sad. I have to say, just the last couple weeks, you know, we've had Heather McDonald making this claim about this nationwide crime wave that's supposedly occurring. We've had, you know, these guys making their claims. We've had others like Piketty with the economic stuff claiming the inequality is soaring. I just wish we were in a world where if people did this type of outrageous stuff with the data, there'd be consequences. I mean, Heather McDonald, I mean, she's a conservative. But, you know, she picks six cities out of the top 40, and she says, look, murder rates are going up really quickly in these. She doesn't mention that those were the worst six of the top 40 cities that we have data available for. I mean, I can give six cities where murder rates have fallen dramatically. You have San Jose, where it's gone down 59% for the first 5 months of this year compared to the first 5 months of last year. You have Jacksonville, where it's down 31%. I mean, I'm just talking about top 15 cities.
Right.
You have other cities I could point to. And the thing is, would that make sense if I pick six cities where murder rates have gone down dramatically and say, well, there's a nationwide plummeting? What you want to look at is all the cities, and if you look at all the top 15 cities, murder rates are down 2%. And so, you know, or she goes and claims that, I mean, I could go on there, but it's just the, you know, it's just these public health people, though, are just outrageous with the way they do it. It's not just cherry picking the state. It's just not cherry picking the years, but cherry picking what to look at. So in terms of crime, so they look at firearm homicides. Well, what about violent crime? What about robberies? What about overall murder? What about rape or other types of things, aggravated assaults? You know, you look at these things. I have on our page at crimeresearch.org, I have graphs for those things. And you can see for violent crime was actually falling prior to the licensing law, and then it starts to go up a little bit afterwards. And the same thing is true with robbery and aggravated assaults. So, you know, it's, when you go and you kind of select these things, you know, there has to be some discussion about why is it that you're looking at Connecticut? I mean, you say you got 10 states with these laws. Why just only look
you know,
at Connecticut?
I've got a theory for you, John, and here's what two parts to this theory. Part one is they know that if they do a study, even if it's internally flawed, and they flush it out to the media, that an awful lot of reporters, I like playing
right.
with numbers, and I like testing numbers the way you do, although I'm not nearly as good. But if you flush it out to today's media, somebody's going to pick it up within 10 seconds, send it out by Twitter, and say, look at this, they passed a law, and the murder rate dropped 40%. And they don't give a damn what the rest of the details are. Second piece, why pick Connecticut? Because if they know media well, they know that if they pick Iowa and they say, "Hey, there's a new study on a law on mass shootings that you know that happened in Iowa," they're going to be hard pressed to find a big mass shooting and video to go with it. But they know that every newsroom in America has mountains of video that came out of Connecticut after Newtown, so they know they're going to get two things: a quick headline that news anchors like to read. And they're going to find, and they're going to have lots of video to go with it. And what the TV viewer is going to do is they're going to glance up from dinner and they're going to see the headline, murder or, you know,
right.
shootings down 40% after gun law passes. And they're going to see a crime scene with lots of body bags and people walking around, police walking around with weapons. John, keep up the good work. We're going to send people to the website. It's Crime Prevention Research Center. Just Google that and you'll get there. And John, keep up the great work.
All right, thanks. Yeah, crimeresearch.org.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you very
much. John Lott with us back in just a moment. 866-439-5277.